Professor Linda Gail Becker is a professor of medicine and chief operating officer at the Desmond Tutu HIV Foundation. Good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. Am I overreacting to this?
No, I find that headline a little irritating myself, Howard. I mean, I think it's sort of making the assumption that every person living with HIV is somehow, you know, problematic to us in this country, and that's actually absolutely not true. Also, it is, you know, there's a potential missing there that, you know, that this is something that could happen. And, you know, the way it's stated, it makes it sound like it almost, you know, is inevitable. So I think it is a little bit sensational, and I think we should dial it back.
Well, yeah, and the other part about it that concerns me, and we'll get to that, we'll get to some of the details around it, is the impact is great. We all work with people who are HIV positive. Are we now meant to view them with greater skepticism because they're HIV positive? We worked so hard in this country to destigmatize HIV positive people. This to me is, it provides potential to bring that back again. And I think that's a problem for me.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think, first of all, I think it's important to say it's not because it's not just applicable to people with living with HIV. The principle is that if there is immune compromise, and there are many reasons people can be immune compromised, they may not be able to clear the virus quite as effectively as somebody who's entirely immune competent. And it's under those circumstances that the SARS-CoV-2, because it's an RNA virus, could stay for a long time in somebody's body and undergo mutational changes in that actual body. Most of the time, it's when the virus passes from person to person that it replicates and undergoes change. But what this particular study showed is that in an individual, there were a number of mutations that happened because the virus was harbored for a really long time. But that principle is not because they were HIV positive, it's because they were immune compromised. Now, in this country, we just happen to have a high burden of people living with HIV. But again, if people are on antiretrovirals, if they're taking the antiretrovirals, their immune systems are completely reconstituted. They don't fall into that category at all. So again, important to understand the principle and what is actually being said about the physiology behind that statement.
So that's actually a very important differentiator, that if somebody's on antiretrovirals, they don't even fall into this category, or they shouldn't, because their immunity is pretty much, in inverted commas, normal.
Yeah, we know that. If people start their antiretrovirals and take them very well, their immune system begins to recover and eventually recovers to the point where we know they can have as normal a lifespan as anybody else. In other words, all of the problems that put them at disadvantage, such that they might, you know, undergo an opportunistic infection and even die early, all of that goes away. So that's the power of being on antiretrovirals and, you know, getting immune systems back to normal. And, you know, although we haven't necessarily shown that scientifically, one can make a very, you know, obvious deduction that if you are on antiretrovirals, if your immune system is fully reconstituted, you are not going to be the kind of person in which the virus will live for a long time.
Mm. Towards the beginning of the pandemic, there was this thought that maybe people on antiretrovirals would fare better during the pandemic. Then they thought, well, maybe South Africa was doing a little bit better because of the TB vaccine. Well, that didn't turn out to be the case. And of course, we were very hard hit. Has there been any studies around people who are HIV positive and living on antiretrovirals in terms of the pandemic?
There are a number of studies underway, and in fact, it was this particular one in KwaZulu where they happened to be studying people living with HIV repeatedly that they were able to actually pick this case up of somebody who was quite immune compromised and then developed COVID-19, and you know, they followed their trajectory over time. So there are a number of studies, cohort type studies underway. More importantly, I think we need some vaccine studies to help us understand, you know, how do people living with HIV fare if they receive a COVID-19 vaccine? How do they do? What's vaccine effectiveness? Do they need more boosters, much as we are thinking within our, you know, within our frameworks? Do people who live with diabetes need to be boosted more often? Do people who have, you know, cancers and are on treatment for oncology, do they also need additional COVID-19 vaccinations? All of these questions remain questions for us to answer, and important ones. And really, there have been very few trials around the world that have included HIV-positive individuals. Mm. We're about to start one, and we're very excited about that. And so hopefully we will, again, be one of the first countries in the world to answer this question definitively.
Mm-hmm. That said, though, South Africa has kept quite far away from categorizing people in terms of comorbidities for COVID-19. We've really gone the age route. We haven't looked at people at all with comorbidities. That hasn't seemed to have been a factor. Do you think that should now that everybody above the age of 18 has been able to access the vaccine, that we should start looking at a cohort of people who require greater assistance?
I think that is going to be a natural evolution, Howard. I mean, I think it's happening. You know, the UK started to single out individuals who are older and you know, have immune difficulties. We know that the US is talking about that. You know, Israel has gone down this road. So I think it is inevitable that we are going to have to discuss this, but at this moment we are very much in the era of saying we just need to get every adult vaccinated. So really the big push here is, doesn't matter who you are, you know, you need to step forward and be vaccinated. And in the words of Dr. Fauci, you know, if you have a problem with your immunity, then get vaccinated, because adding protection, any protection, is better than no protection. And so, you know, really important that individuals step up for vaccination regardless. And so that's, I think, the take-home message at the moment.
Do you think, given the fact that I believe, and it's just anecdotal, you'll have the information, that South Africans living with HIV are quite health conscience in terms of the fact that they make sure largely that people are getting their antiretrovirals, taking them. Do you think that because of that we'll see a greater uptake on people receiving the vaccines and less resistance in that group?
Yeah, I mean, I think it, you know, ironically, there's good and bad of having the biggest burden of HIV in the world. The good side of it is that we have a lot of focus on people living with HIV. And as you say, we've really worked hard to destigmatize it. You can imagine if you are very much a minority group in a country living, you know, under wraps, finding it difficult to get your services because perhaps you're a sex worker who happens to live with HIV. Mm. That's going to be really hard. Whereas in this country, I think, you know, ironically, HIV is more mainstreamed. Having said that, it's not easy to live with HIV. And again, we need to encourage those of our citizens who do live with HIV to step forward. They have every right to the vaccine, and they need to make sure they're as protected as they can be. So, you know, I hope so, Howard. The other important thing to remember is, you know, there's actually some nice data to show that if you live with HIV and you're on your antiretrovirals, you actually live longer because, as you say, those individuals are in our health system. They are actually being regularly looked at, and so they're less likely to have other health problems. And therefore may actually do better than the average citizen who you know, who ducks and dives the health system, because they don't need it.
That is interesting. And that also means that these types of articles are potentially really quite dangerous in that they're not giving the whole picture at all, and creates an impression that of something that really isn't necessarily the case.
Yeah, I'm presuming that it was, you know, the motivation behind it was to try and encourage people to get vaccinated and to make sure we get vaccines here in this country. But I've already stated I think it's sensational, and I don't think it's really helpful to the cause. So I think people need to read the story behind the headline.